This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Jesus, as a mother, you gather your people to you. You are gentle with us like a mother with her children. In your love and tenderness, remake us. You weep over our sins and our pride. Tenderly, you draw us from hatred and judgment. In your love and tenderness, remake us. Amen. Be seated. Good morning. That prayer that I just shared with you is nothing new. It dates back to the 10th century as the words were penned by St. Anselm, an Archbishop of Canterbury, speaking about Jesus as our mother. A lot of times I think we'd like to think that this idea of the feminine side of God and of Jesus are something new that we've come up with in this century, and it's not. 10th century that prayer was written, and as you heard, Jesus himself in this chapter of Luke's gospel refers to himself as a mother hen. It is an incredible image. Those of you who go back a ways recall when Bishop Friday was here on this particular Sunday about 6 years ago, and he preached on the feminine side of God. It's an important concept for us. And notice Jesus poses himself as a mother hen, not a rooster. He's not strutting his stuff. It's not about him. It's about his desire to do anything he can to protect us. I know it's Fourth Sunday, and we don't generally look at the other readings at this particular family service, but the other readings have to be referred to because they bring this theme out so much. In the Genesis reading, I encourage you, it's in the back of your bulletin, to take it home and read it today if you haven't already, but it's this interchange between Abram and God having to do with the promise that God makes to Abram. And God says, I will be your shield. I will be your mother hen. That whatever happens with Abram, God's going to protect Abram. And you know, if you look in that reading back there, it's from Genesis 15, and there's three verses that they skip in our lectionary. And as those of you who know me, as soon as I see that they're skipping some of the verses, I go straight to those to see what they decided, what don't they want us to hear? Is it the papal secret that's in there that they don't want us to hear about, or what? So I go back and I look at Genesis 15, verses 13 to 16 that are skipped in the reading today. And in the midst of what's going on with Abram and God, here are the verses they skip. Your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land. They will be slaves there and will be treated cruelly for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and when they leave that foreign land, they will take great wealth with them. You yourself will live to a ripe old age, die in peace, and be buried. It will be four generations before your descendants come back here, before I will not drive out the Amorites until they become so wicked that they must be punished. I don't know why they leave that out there. It's pretty good words to me. It's talking about the faithfulness of God, but in God's time, not ours. The scripture commentators write that this was omitted because it's an inserted tradition that it was not written by the original author of Genesis, but added to help explain the delay in the fulfillment of God's promise to Abram. Well, I think that's pretty important for us to realize. It is an important point. That God's going to be faithful, God's going to be our shield, God's going to be our mother hen, but in God's way, in God's time. The other New Testament reading we don't get to hear today, but it's in the back of your bulletin, Philippians. Paul has the same idea, and he's pleading with his audience because Paul gets it now. And he says, your citizenship is in heaven. So claim it. Live it. It becomes so important for us to take off from this idea of Jesus as mother hen and understand where he's expecting us to go with God as our shield. Remember in Luke's gospel, there is this line that we hear over and over again because it's the key to Jesus' journey. Chapter 9, verse 51. Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. Jesus, in that verse, gets his focus as to where he is going, how he's going to get there, and knowing what he has to do. And the rest of his ministry in Luke is sort of clearing all of those things and people out of the way because that's what he is focused upon. Today, you tell that fox Herod, this is what I'm doing. And he does it. The image that we're left with in such a powerful way today is here is Jesus and he's weeping over Jerusalem. Why? Because as much as he gets it and knows what he is to do and what he's to focus upon in his life, he realizes that even those closest to him don't get it, let alone the multitudes. There is in Jerusalem this little chapel. It's called Dominus Flavit. Jesus wept, it's called. And it's on the spot where it is believed that this took place. It's a beautiful chapel. Inside that chapel, there's a beautiful mosaic. The mosaic is of a mother hen. And at the feet of that mother hen are seven chicks representing this gospel. But you look out the window of that church as Jesus would have looked out, and across the valley, there is this incredible vista of the entire walled city of Jerusalem with the temple and all. A magnificent sight. You know, Jerusalem is important in Luke's gospel. He refers to Jerusalem twice more than all the other gospels combined. It's an incredible, beautiful city from what we understand. And here is Jesus, and he looks out, and he knows that what is ahead for him, but he knows he must go there. But he knows in his heart that there are so many who are missing it. Now here's the key for us. If God's going to be our shield, we don't need to fear. How many times in our lives are we like Jesus is in that gospel today, and we are sitting on that hillside and looking? And we know that's where I'm called to go. That's what I'm called to do. That's who I'm called to become. And I just sit there living a life of quiet desperation because I don't think I can do it. I don't want to do it. I don't think I have the energy to do it. I don't have the courage to do it. And there we sit. And this is why Jesus weeps. I don't know a person in this church who does not have a metaphorical Jerusalem in their life. I don't think we go through life without it. Paul had it. Paul called it a thorn in the flesh. It might be a confrontation that we don't want to have, either with another person, another relationship, with myself, with my God. It might be a change in my life that I know I'm called to make. It might be an addiction that I don't want to face up to. It might be a bad habit that I have that I just don't want to let go of. But I don't think there's a single person that doesn't have that facing them across the valley. And the thing is, if God is our shield, why do we sit across the valley the whole life through and just look at it? This is why Jesus weeps. So I beg you today, whatever it is, whoever it is, why are you just sitting there looking at it? Deal with it. If you know that that's what you're called to do, to be able to become who God is calling you to be, listen to his words. I'm your shield. I'm your mother hen. I'm going to take the bullet for you. It's the only way. I've quoted William Dowles before in this regard, but he puts it in such an eloquent way that I just want to share it with you today because it brings it home, I think, so well. Going into Jerusalem is always about becoming vulnerable, about speaking and being the truth that finally sets us free. Remaining outside the city walls is a life of denial, pretense, illusion, excuses, and blaming. Not speaking the truth, standing outside Jerusalem, is a life stopped and stuck with no one able to move on. Jerusalem is that part of each of our lives, or place in our souls where life is stopped and we are stuck and the relationship or dream or hope or promise cannot move on. Jerusalem is where hard work awaits each of us. Jerusalem is the walled city we circle monotonously before we find the courage or folly to move from silent safety to speaking the words of truth to the other, which may be expressions of hurt and anguish, disappointment and despair, but can also be words of intimacy and affection. Jerusalem is the next chapter in any relationship. It can also be the next step in a job or career, the next move toward using the talent you have, the gift you possess, or simply being the person you know you're called to be. Why do we wait for the next chapter? You know, I've been here 12 years, and I reflect back, and we've had conflicts one with another, but we've faced them. And I look out and I see the relationships that have been healed as a result. We know this to be the case. So why do we sit on the other side of the hill and just look at Jerusalem instead of being there? We began Lent on Ash Wednesday and we had ashes put on our forehead and we said, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Well, maybe in light of this gospel, we need to equally recall today. Remember that you are God's child. And to God, our mother hen, you shall return. May we continue that journey today. Amen.